Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf Zayin, and we're holding four lines from the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara goes into a very, very esoteric topic, and that is the topic of Tumtum. Tumtum means a child that is born that one cannot tell initially whether the child is male or female, because it's missing what would normally be the typical reproductive organs that you would see. Subsequently, it can be nikra. Nikra means you can go and tear open the area downstairs, down below, presumably through some sort of surgery, and then discover whether or not, in fact, this tumtum is a male or a female. But at the time of birth, this was a child that was a tumtum. We don't know whether the child is a male or female. What difference does that matter? We'll have in Mir Shem the Gemara five halachic ramifications. Omer Bami, first one. Tumtum shenikra v'nim tzachar. The child was born a tumtum, and subsequently it was nikra. It doesn't say when, it could even be 20 years later. And now we discover that it's a zachar. And it turns out that this was the first child to that marriage. The father ultimately passes away, and this child says, well, I'm a bechor. If I was in the cave, I wouldn't go and get any bechor shaft. I wouldn't get anything, because there are a bunch of brothers, and they're going to go in Yarshin. But now that we've done the surgery, and we've discovered that, in fact, I am a zachar, I want to get pishnaim, like a regular bechor. Says the Gemara, ain't a noitel pishnaim. Why? The Amakrot says in the Pasuk, v'hoyu habena bechor las nia. What is that lashon of v'hoya? The word v'hoya in this context means from his very existence. Ab initio, when he arrives on this world. At that time, v'hoya, he's already got to be a ben b'char at that time. If I don't even know that he's a ben at that time, then even though subsequently I figure out that he's a ben, makes no difference, he does not get pishnai. Similarly, Nachma Yitzchak Omer, af einen nidon ki ben tzayru u'moira. The din of ben tzayru u'moira, it's got to be by a boy, not by a girl. And what Rav Nachma Yitzchak is telling us, we have to know that he's a boy at the initial arrival on this planet. When he comes out of his mommy's womb, if we know already at that time he's a zohar, then he could potentially become a ben tzayru u'moira. However, ben tzayru u'moira means a rebellious son. However, if at that time he didn't know that he was a son, maybe it's a daughter. Chveisnish. The Yomakro ki yiyah li'ish ben tzayru u'moira. Again, that yiyah means that yehi ben mishas havaya, from his very inception on this world. So those are really two nafkiminis. Then nafkimina number three. Ameimer Omer, af einim amayit chevi b'chayr, he's also not mimayit chevi b'chayr. Shenemar v'yoldu v'yvonim, at yehi ben mishas leidah. Now what does that mean, he's not mimayit chevi b'chayr? So here we have to go into a little bit of arithmetic, not major, not calculus, however, a little bit of arithmetic. Let's assume, for example, that we're talking about three children altogether. And the tumtum over here is not the bechor, it's one of the pshutim. Three children altogether. One of them, the poshut, one of the two pshutim, is a pshutim, meaning a non-bechor, is a tumtum. Let's assume, for example, that the entire estate was that of $900. $900. Okay. So now we're going to make two cheshbonos. One cheshbon not including the pashut who's a tumtum, and one cheshbon including the tumtum. And we'll see, mitzvah, what the ramifications are. So let's start off with, again, we have three sons. One is a bechor, normal fellow. Another one is a pashut, also a normal fellow. And the third one is a pashut, but he is a tumtum. I don't mean to say that he's abnormal, but you know what I mean. He's not an ordinary type of guy. Fine. So says a meimer, he's not memayit chelik b'chayr. Let's try to figure out how much b'chayr shaft there would be. We're not going to include him initially in the cheshbon of b'chayr, because he's not memayit. And therefore, we're going to take the $900, and we're going to split it, instead of splitting it four ways, we're going to split it three ways. Meaning, if this was a normal pashut, we'd have three children, and since the Bukhar takes Bishnaim, instead of three portions, we divide it up in four portions. However, because the tumtum is initially not part of the cheshbon, so take him out, we only have now three portions. That is, the Bechor gets two, and then the first portion gets one. So now if we take the 900, we divide it by three, how much would that come out to be?
More or less 300.
Exactly 300. Mida Bechavel. No, Pachas, yes.
Bechor gets 600 of that.
Now you're jumping to conclusions. Now we have 3 into 900 is 300, 300, 300 per portion. Therefore, as you say correctly, the Bechor gets his 300. Stop right there. Now we have 600 left over. As far as that 600, that we have to go and split among the Pshutim. Tum-tum, come on in. Come on in. Now he joins the other two, and now we have 3 to split up the Chelek HaPoshet. How much is Chelek HaPoshet? How much is left over?
600.
We're going to divide 600 by 3. We're going to get 200. The Bechor, therefore, is going to get 500. Poshet number 1 is going to get 200. And the Tumtum is going to get 200. So 500, 200, and 200.
We're making a suffix, so we're...
We'll talk about suffix in a moment. But in the meantime, we have taken the Tumtum out of the equation when we're cheshbening the Bechor's Chelek of Bechoyre. And the Chelek of Bechoyre was, we're not going to split up the Yerusha 4 ways, we're going to split it up 3 ways. Because he's out of... Tumtum, leave the room, you'll come back in a minute. So in the meantime, we only have 3. 3 divided into 900 gets you 300 for each portion. So he gets his Bechor of 300. And now, if they were to stop there, you're right. Then he would get another 300, and he would get 300. But we don't stop there, because we're going to bring in the Pashut now for the Cheshbon of the Pshutim. So the only thing that we have now allocated is the Chelek HaBechor, which is 300. We're left with 600. Of that 600, we bring in now all 3 boys. We divide up the 600 by 3. Therefore, it's 200, 500 Bechor, 200, and 200.
We're kicking him out. Then he should be out of the picture altogether.
Okay.
Why should the Tumtum be... Sorry.
Now, let's figure out the second Cheshbon, and then everybody will jump. Now, let's say that the Tumtum was there ab initio from the very beginning when we're making our computation. So now we have 900, and we're dividing it not 3 ways, we're dividing it 4 ways. How much is 4 into 900? Roughly 225. Do you agree? 4 times 200 is 800, 4 times 25 is 100, 900. Oh, 225. Good. So now what happens is that the Bechor is going to get 225, and because he is a Bechor, he's going to get 2 Chalakim. 2 times 225 is 450. He's going to get 450, the Pasha is going to get 225, and the Tumtum is going to get 225. So now we've added up again the 450 plus 225, which is another 450. So it's 900 again. So what have we accomplished? Vis-a-vis what we've accomplished is that the Bechor has not just gotten 450, we've gotten 500. Why is the Bechor gotten 500? If one of the Pshutim is not a Bechor, but he is a Tumtum, and he's a Pashut, he's not Memayit, he does not carve out any Chelek of the Bechor, but rather, the Chelek Bechor is much larger. Not much larger. In our example, the difference between 500 and 450. If the Tumtum were included in cheshbening the amount of the Bechor, then as we said before, then the Bechor would only get 450. However, since he's not part of the cheshbon, that's why the Bechor gets a full 500, 300 plus 200. Where do you take this from? Why? Shnebuchadnezzar says in the pasuk, "V'yol d'leivanim achihei ben b'shas leida." It has to be that at the time of leida, we know that it's a ben, v'yol d'leivanim at the leida stage. We didn't know that he was a ben. Everybody thought, well, maybe it's, I don't know, do we have to make a kiddush on Shabbos, or do we have to have a bris? We'll have to wait a day or two, or a week, or a month, until the doctors say we can go and cut open the private parts down below, and we'll figure out, is it a zachar or an akeva? At the time of later, we don't know. If we don't know, then he's not memayit in the chelek b'chayr. So, now there are a whole bunch of questions, shoot, from all sides.
Right. So we're saying that. So it was then became clear. When did it become clear?
Whenever they did the surgery. It could be a day later. It could be a week. It could be 20 years.
How is this?
The father passed away 50 years later. Right. By the time the father passed away, he could have had 8 surgeries. The point is that at the time that he was born, nobody knew what his status was. So, number one, if it's the Bechor who we don't know his status, then even though a minute later, 5 minutes, a day later, we find out that he's a Zachar. Sorry, it's got to be Vahav Yosai, Vahaya. B'shas, that he was born, we have to know that he was a Ben. We didn't know that he was a ben. He loses his chelik b'chayim. Similarly, the gabi the poshet, at the time that he was born, we have to know that he's a ben, the old lay bonim. We don't know, maybe it's in the keva. And the keva doesn't take any chelik in Yerusha at all, if there are bonim, which is our case. There are bonim, there's a b'char, and there's another poshet. So therefore, since I don't know, says the Torah, you don't cheshven him in when we're trying to determine the amount of allocation for the chelik ha-b'choy. That's why we went through our cheshven. We only made a cheshven initially of three parts, not four parts, because the tumtum is out of the room. You described it because he's a suffix. It's true that he's a suffix.
He was a suffix at time of rebirth.
Exactly. But that's regardless. Normally, the Gemara uses the expression, it's trakro lamute sveika. I need a pasuk to go and exclude a suffix. We're not defining at this point. Later on, we're going to talk about suffix. We're defining the tumtum as being, if you will, today on the government form, says male, female, and then says other. The tumtum would be a true other. By the time that he fills out the forms, presumably by then we know whether he's a male or a female. But were he to fill it out at the time that he was born, and at that time if he was a tumtum, it's another. And the Torah says, when do you who is part of the cheshbon of figuring out how much the Bechor gets and how much the Peshutim gets? Only boys. At the time, and boys at the time of birth, not boys at times of allocation. That being the case, says Gemara, he wasn't a boy at birth. That's why he's not part of the calculation.
If the Bechor is the
Tumtum, that was the first case. That was Rabbi.
So he doesn't get Pishnaim.
Doesn't get Pishnaim at all.
But the question is, does he get part of the...
Yes. He's a Pasha. Yes, a Pasha yes, yes. He's a Pasha a Jew. He's not a Bechor Jew. He's a Pasha a Yid.
He's
a Yoresh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, he's a Yoresh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. You had a question.
It's been answered.
So therefore, you saw the arithmetic, and you saw the pshat and the pasuk, and everything is great. So far we have three halachas of tumtum. We had a gabi b'chor pishnayim, we had the din of ben tzer moira, and now we have that alt pashid, he's not memayit in the chevi b'chor. And then we have two more. Rav Shizvi Omar af enoi nimul lishmoina. He also does not have his bris on day number 8. Obviously, for talking about a bris, sometime between the first day when he was born and the 8th day, they did open up and they discovered, hey, he's a zocher. Now, when it says, that means if Shmini comes out on Shabbos. Because if Shmini comes out on Sunday through Friday, what's the problem? Give him a bris. However, Shabbos, the Torah says, the Amakra, Isha ki sazri, the older zocher, and then it says, "Tomas Shivas Yomim Kimein Nidach Voice of Titma Uva Yoyimashmini Yimal Bzar Arlosai." So we have the smichas of these two psukim: the Yolda Zocher, the Yoyimashmini, Umashmini Yimal Hachei Zocher Mishas Leida. It has to be that the Yolda Zocher at the time of the Leida, we knew that he was a Zocher, not that we had to ask the doctor, "Okay, when are you available for surgery to cut open and let's see, is it a Zocher, is it a Keva? Let's figure it out." No, it's got to be that when the kid is born, it's a Zocher. I mean, it's crystal clear. I mean, you can see that. She's Zocher Mishas later. So therefore, Zokti Gemara, since he was not a clear cut Zocher Mishas later, the Torah is Mamayatim, that he does not have a din of Shmini, Legabe to be Mechal Shabbos. Avada, otherwise throughout the week, yes. But to go and be Doicha Shabbos, Nishnish, Torah says Davke Zocher and Nishka Tumtum. And now Halacha number 5, Rav Sharvi Omar, Af Ein Imoy Tmeya later. The Omar Kro Ishakis has revealed the Zohar. The Thomas Shivas Yom. Achei Zohar Mishas Leida. Now, for this, we have to go a drop into Hilchoy's Tumas Leida. You'll all remember from the beginning of Parshas Kisazria that there's a difference between a mami that gives birth to a Zohar or a mami that gives birth to a Nekeva. The numbers by Nekeva are double the numbers by Zohar. What does that mean? That for the first 7 days, after a mommy gives birth to a boy, she's automatically Tmeya later, even if she didn't see any blood whatsoever. That's, the Gemara calls that a Lady Abeshta, that you have a Lady where there was no blood. 99.9% of the time, there's plenty of blood at the time of Lady, and other body fluids as well. But in...
After birth.
Oh, very good. But just in the hypothetical, theoretical case, thank you, where you had a child that's born and there was absolutely no blood, no anything, anyway, she happens to be Tumas Leida for 7 days. However, after 7 days are over, she has 33 Yemei tohar, which means even if she sees blood every single day, makes no difference. These are tahara bloods, and the Torah says that she is tahara. That's, if you want to look up psukim, we can, but I don't think it's necessary. So that's the gabi zachar. The gabi nekeva is exactly double. That what? The tamei shvu ayim kinidasa. She is tamei now for 14 days. And then it says in the pasuk, shishim yoim v'sheishis yomim, teishiv al demei tahara. For the next 66 days, she's totally tahara. So therefore, by a boy, it's 7 and 33, 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tahara. By a girl, it's 14 days of tumah, but 66 days of tahara. Good.
Is it, if she shows blood during those 56 days, she can still be with her husband?
She can be with her husband totally, no problem. So that's the din min ha-toira of tumas leida, by a boy, by a girl. So now Rav Sharvi says, af ein imoy tmeya leida, there is no tumas leida if the mommy gave birth to a tumtum. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, to have a din of tumah, it's got to be the oldest zachar, then the tumah shuvas yam, achei zachar mishas leida. And the same thing will apply to the case of a girl. In other words, we don't know whether tumtum is a boy or a girl. And there, it also the pasuk says, vim nekeva seled, v'tama shvu ayim kinidasa. But you can't say that it's a nekeva b'shas leida because we don't know. So therefore, according to Rav Sharvia, there's no din of tumma whatsoever. Not tumma zocha, not tumma nekeva, gunish, because we don't know. Yeah.
In the tahara of post the tumma period, is that also suspended?
All suspended.
So she becomes a regular nida zava.
That's the next gemara. Frank gemara meisvei. The first kasha of the gemara is going to be now on Rav Sharvia. That's the last halacha that we just learned, that there is no din of tumas leida. Frank gemara meisvei hamapeles tumtum the androgynous teishiv la zochar vilanekeva, a lady that's mapil. A tumtum, and or an androgynous. Androgynous, you know, means he has both simonim of zachris and nakvus. That's not our sugya. Our sugya is a tumtum, but that's part of the price. So she's mapel a tumtum, and we don't know at the time that the child is born whether it's a zachar or a keva. And in fact, it's unlikely that we'll ever know, because since it's a nephil, this child is not going to grow. It's a nephil means a child that was either stillborn or even prior to that, a miscarriage. And depending on how old the child was in the mommy's womb, whether you're going to bury it, not bury it, but that's not our concern. But our concern is, what is the status of the mommy? Because the din of the mommy, legabe hilchos tumah v'tahara, makes the difference whether the child went full term and became a live, viable child. Even chas v'shalom, if there's a miscarriage or a stillborn child, she also has to have the same dinim of tumah v'tahara. So now, I don't know this child that was born, this tumtum, whether it was a zachar or a keva. So what did Rav Sharvia say? Rav Sharvia said, okay, forget about it. The whole dinim, all the dinim that apply to tumas leida is only the yolda zachar, I know vadai. But the tumtum, that's an other. You have to check the other box. So therefore, the Torah doesn't address that. That's not a yolda zachar, that's not in the keva tele. So, says Rav Sharvia, you're off the hook, no dinim of the tumah v'tahara. However, the price says, Teshuv lazocher vilane keva. No, it's the other way around. I have to be machmir, yeshiva zocher and the keva. Now, what does it mean, yeshiva zocher and the keva? Which means we're going to go and take the chumris of both. Instead of assuming that it's a zocher and only having 7 days of tumma, we will assume that it was in the keva and there'll be 14 days of tumma. But instead of giving the kula of 66 days of tahara, we're only going to go and give her
33 minus 7.
Why 33 minus 7? Because normally after the 7 days end, we start into 33.
It's a 40-day period total.
So therefore, we have the 7 days where we assume that's a zachar. Then we have another 7 days which we assume maybe it was in a keva. So now we have 14 days. And the maximum that we can allow for your mate tahara is maybe it was a zachar. So therefore, we only get 26 days more. So instead of 7 plus 33, we're going to have 14 plus 26. 14 days, we will assume that it was in a keva, because I don't know, it was a tumtum. And after that, well, maybe it was a zachar. So you only get the benefit of 26 days of tahara. Anyway, that's clearly not like Rav Sharvia. Rav Sharvia said, you know, just forget about it. It's as if nothing happened by Tumtum. It's not a Zochan on a Keva, so it's an other, no Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. So Timur, you're right. Tiyuvta Rav Sharvia, Tiyuvta. Rav Sharvia is knocked out in terms of his halacha because it's very clear from the Brisa Nishna side. But Frey Timur, once I'm bringing this Brisa, let's say it's a kasha Rav Shizbi as well. Now, what's the masa mit Rav Shizbi? Rav Shizbi said, "Af ein nimel mishmoina." The Amakra Ishikis is really old as Ocher. Didn't I see in this brisa? It's not like Rav Sharvia. Well, it's got to be Vavi Zocher. Bear in mind that both Rav Shizbi and Rav Sharvia are learning the identical pasuk. It's not a similar pasuk. It's the identical pasuk, right on the third line. Rav Shizbi Omer Af ein nimel mishmoina. The Amakra Ishikis is Ria the old as Ocher be a mishmini. The old as Ocher. It's got to be a Vavi Zocher. Rav Sharvia says, "Af ein imoy tmeya leida." Shinemakos says, "No, the Yomakra." Isha ki says, "Revi yol de zocher." But Tamish v'Yom. So they're both learning the same. The yol de zocher. It's got to be zocher that we know zocher b'shas later. So just like we asked the kasha on Rav Sharvia from this halacha mabelis tum v'adroyis teish zocher lekev. What do I see from this brisa that your drasha av che zocher b'shas leida is lavdafka Rav Sharvia? We knocked it out. So knock out there for the same halacha Rav Shizbi when he says Ishik is the old zocher has got to be the behir mishmini yimol achi zocher b'shas leida. Now we already said it doesn't have to be zocher b'shas leida. This brisa says that teishiv lezocher even though it's a tumtum is the chayish shver also Rav Shizbi. Every gemara, no, it's not really shver Rav Shizbi. Tana sfuki mesabkalei ulechumra. It's not that the Tana is saying that since it's a tumtum, we're going to go and impress upon this child both dinim of zocher and the keva. What the Brais is saying is, I really can't make up my mind. Is it a zocher? Is it a keva? This is similar to what Brother Shai was saying 10 minutes ago, that it's a suffix. It's not, until now we were learning it's not a suffix, it's just a third category. It's the other category where you have to go and check it off. Here, the Gemara is saying for the first time, no. This Brais says, I don't really know what to do. I'm scratching my head numerous times and I have to wash my hands each time I scratch my head. But nevertheless, I have a suffix. Is it a zocher? Is it in the cave? And therefore I'm going to be machmir. What am I going to be machmir? I'm going to go and say, perhaps it's a zocher, then only 33 days of tahara. Perhaps it's a nekeva, then 14 days of tumah. Since the second 7 days interferes with the 33, it overlaps. So it's going to be 14 and 26. So it's not because I have a vade pasik, it's because I don't know what to do with it. I have a suffix. Therefore, we go to chumrah in the case of tumas leida. Here too, the gavi the hilchah is bris mila. I don't know if it's a zocher or not. If it's a vade zocher, then yes, make pishmini on Shabbos Kodesh. But if I don't know, then I can't make the mila on that day. Now, it's not that I don't know at the time of the bris mila. By now I know, because otherwise why do I call the moyel? Why am I making a bris? I know that but it had to be b'shas maisa when the child was born. I didn't know. So therefore said Rav Sharvia, or Rav Shizbi I should say, said we got to be machmir. Yes, make a bris anytime between Sunday and Friday, but don't do it on Shabbos because of this concern of this pasuk. Ulechama. Right, Dimar, if that's the case, you're saying that this brisa is not definitively saying one way or the other, but rather the brisa is saying, I'm not sure I have the suffix. What does that mean? What the Gemara means to say is we should take away all the hilchos yemei toihar. Take away not only the 66, not only the 33, not only the 26. Don't give her any yemei toihar whatsoever. Why? Because if you're telling me that Rav Sharvia may be correct, and that when it says v'yol d'zochar she zochar mishas leida, we have to know v'adei zochar. So the only reason why I'm being machmir is because I have a svuki mesapkele. Once you're svuki mesapkele, maybe there's no hilchas yimei toyer at all, because maybe the blood that she sees during the 66 days or the 33 days or the 26 days, all of that blood that she sees, maybe she's a nida, and she's not considered to be a yoledes zocher or a yoledes nekeva, because the whole thing is svuki mesapkele. So tomorrow, sorry?
But she is a yoledes.
Yeah, whether she gives birth, whether it's a boy or girl, there are days that she's tahar, so why are you totally taking any...
Shev al chasa in the case of a suffix, right?
Correct. What the Gemara is saying is, initially the pasuk said, Isha Kisazriya V'yolda Zohar. She gave birth to a Zohar. That she gave birth is absolutely 1,000% accurate. That we know. She's going to get the doctor's bills and the hospital bills. She gave birth. There's no question. The question is, was a Zohar B'shas Leida? That I don't know. Because B'shas Leida, when the baby was born, we asked the nurse, okay, nurse, what's the story? Was it a girl or a boy? I'm not sure. What do you mean you're not sure? Take a look. I'm not sure. Because it's a tumtum. Really? So when's the last time this happened? 8,000 years ago. The world doesn't even stand 8,000 years. But the point is, it's very rare, but these things can happen. Oh, so since it was not a vadei zocher b'shas leida, says Rav Sharbia, then no dinam of tumas leida. What do you mean? She was a leida, leida, leida. Yeah, but it wasn't a leidas zocher. It wasn't a leidas nekeva. It was a leidas sofik. So the Braisa said, since I have a sofik, then I have to take upon myself all chumras in all directions. So don't give a din of only 7 days of tumah. Give a din of 14 days of tumah. Maybe it was a girl. Don't give a din of 66 days of tahara. Maybe it's a boy. Only 33. And we have to subtract 7. It's only 26. Frank Timur, once when being machmer in all directions, because I'm not sure, maybe we won't give her a din of either zohar or nekeva, because it's got to be zohar mishas leida. It's got to be nekeva mishas leida. And it was neither of the two. I don't know. Therefore, we should be machmer yet a third direction. That maybe she should have dinam of nida. And if it's dinam of nida, then that would wash away the entire yemei toyar period. Totally. So tiyumar akasha. In good gefrekt, it's not the strength of a tiyufta. It's only the strength of a kasha. Why is it only the strength of a kasha, not a tiyufta? Says Rishbam, because the Gemara could have answered easily, like the Gemara says in other places, nu, tni, tum de mandraigin estation, zach lekeva, ulanida. In other words, it's just a one word, three letter
modification.
Shine, so the Braisa left it out, there was a mistake, it was, you know, do a tikkun toys. That's the, if you look at the Rishbam Kasha, Kasha's about two thirds down the wide lines, Kasha, av tiyuf de mamish eina, vishul shechosim in a Braisa, the Matzila Meimer, like the Gemara says, tni, nu, like the Rhine. We weren't talking about neither, we were talking about later, so we left it out. But you're 100% right. Anyway, yes.
I'm bothered in the Bryce that says a Mapelis.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mapelis halachically the same as later?
Nathal same then.
Okay.
Zokimoravaiter Omarova. Tanya Kawasarami. So we have the five halachas of Gabi Tumtum, and now we're going back to halacha number one of Rabami. What does Rabami say? A tumtum shenikra, vidim tzachar, does not get pishnaim like a regular bechor, because it has to be bechor b'shas leida. In other words, we know for a fact, v'yahabein ha-bechor. We knew at the time of leida, b'shas havaya, that it was a bechor. So Omer Avotani was a Rabami. I'll bring a raya from my braisa. Ben v'loi tumtum, bechor v'loi sofik. Oh, so that's word for word, just like Rabbi said, that it says in the possible, as opposed to a tumtum, no dinim of Bukhar. Ela Bukhar Vele Safik, Lafukimai, what does this Bukhar Vele Safik come to exclude? Lafukimid Dorash Rava, to go and exclude what Rava darshaned on his own. Rav is the one that's bringing this price,
which actually is so certain.
Exactly. So the Gemara is going to say that Rav eventually changed his mind, as you'll see. The Dorish Rav. Rav told us about the following incident. What happens if you have two Zchorim that were born b'machbei in a tunnel or in hiding?
A bomb shelter.
A dark bomb shelter. Exactly. In times of war, etc. And we don't know which one of the two was born first. Now you're saying to yourself, okay, but you know, these are two separate ladies, so each one of them presumably had their own bechor. I don't understand.
Same husband.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Very good. Exactly. And Rishbam says your words. He doesn't quote you by name, but in parentheses, you see six lines from the bottom. Shtei noshim, shel, adam echad. One person, Yankel had two wives, as you know. This was totally permissible until the Chaim Beit Gershom, and even in certain Sephardic countries, even until recently, they still allowed for multiple marriages. Anyway, so multiple marriages married to two women. So one person was married to two women, and both women were expecting at the same time, and both of them gave birth b'machbei, and we don't know which one of the two kids, they're both healthy and they're both smiling and they're both crying. It's all wonderful. But I don't know which one was born first. Who was born at 12 o'clock and who was born at 12:05? So says Rav, I have a good idea. You know what we're going to do? If and when, chas v'sholem, the father will pass away, a year later, 50 years later, then they will write a harshah. Harshah is a power of attorney. Each will write a power of attorney for the other. They don't have to each one write. One can write a power of attorney for the other, saying, Yankel, if I happen to be the Bechor, then I'm entitled to it. If you happen to be the Bechor, I authorize you to go and take the Chelei Bechor on my behalf, and we'll split it between ourselves. Right? So this way, one of them will zicher get at least half of the Bechor, the other one won't, but since it's a Suffolk, I don't know. So, give a power of attorney one to the other, and that will clarify the Suffolk.
Hold on, so there's other brothers, there's two men born, each Bechor to a different wife.
Right.
And then there's subsequent brothers they're competing with in the Yerusha.
Correct.
So how does it work? So Reuben and Shimon are born simultaneously, and then you have the other 10 brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they write a harsha to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have 13. There's only one Bechor Chelek.
Right, exactly.
We have 13 Chelekim.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben and Shimon say, okay, we each get one of the 13.
Right.
This 13th Chelek, we're going to divide it among ourselves.
Between ourselves.
That's mm-hmm. what harsha does.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to affect the Pshutim in any way, other than that they unfortunately going to have to pay one and a pay. They're going to lose one chelik.
One 13th of the Yerusha. Okay.
Yeah, they're really not entitled to it, because exactly. None of them are
Bechorim. It was theirs to begin with.
Sorry?
It was never theirs to begin with.
Never theirs to begin with, exactly. So what Rav is saying makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Let the two potential Bechorim, quasi-Bechorim, they'll split it between themselves, and fine. However, Rapapa was not happy. I'm going to let Rapapa Rava. V'asholach Ravin Dover Zeh, or V'asholach Ravin, as we know, the Gemara often talks about Ravin and Rabbi, yes, come from Eretz Yisrael. It's a good story. Yeah. Anyway, Vashalach Ravin sends the following halacha. He said, this type of situation of two women giving birth to two zchorim b'machbein, I don't know which one is the bechor, I asked all of my rebbes, and nobody had an answer to give me. But what they did say was, Bishum Rabbi Yanai, they said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, Hukru, Philip Seifnis, Arvu, Koisun Hashoah Zelizeh. Loy Hukru ain't Koisun Hashoah Zelizeh. Ah, so what does this mean? Hukru means we knew initially which one was the Bechor. We identified him, we put a bracelet around his arm and all the rest. So we knew who it was. But over time, a day later, a week later, a month later, they forgot which one is which. You can have the same situation even today when you have twins that are born, twin boys, especially if they are identical twins. So it's very hard to tell the difference between one identical twin and the other. Now you're going to tell me that Amami knows and Atati knows. You're sure, but they don't know in the first 5 minutes. After a little while, they realize the different characteristics, the different smirks, the different facial motions and whatever. So they can go and make distinctions. However, what happens in such a case? Hukru, initially the kids were taka born, and we put on the bendela, and we know exactly which one is which. But after that, the bendela was cut off when they went to take a shower or whatever, take a bath. And now, which taka? I forgot which one is early, which one is the older one, which one is the younger one. Says Rabbiana, in such a case, we're at the time of Leida. We knew which one was the Bukhar. Then you can go and give a power of attorney. No problem. Our shailan argument is loy hukru, because it was b'machbei, no lights, no, we didn't know who is the child. Then, which one is the b'chor? Ein koyz v'shor zelazeh, you cannot write our shah. Now, why did Rabbi Yanai say that? That's based on that previous brisa. The brisa that Rava was quoting. What does it say in the brisa? Third line of the wide lines. Tanya kawasir avami, ben v'loy tumtum, b'chor v'loy safek. And the Gemara said, well, Ben Vilei Tumtum, that's Rav Ami. What's the Bechor Lo Yisafek case? That's the case that we're talking about. Lafuk Minadorish Rava. The Rava said that if you have two kids with Machbei, which means Loi Hukru, Ein Koyisun HaShoah Zeh L'Zeh, if you don't know which one is the Bechor, neither of one has enough authority to empower the other one to write out to become his shliach to go and accept the b'chorshaft. Because, I don't know, are you? Avad, of course, we realize statistically it's got to be one or the other.
Right, the Peshutim have to relinquish it because if one could prove, then they would be entitled to it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what the Pasuk is coming lafuke. The Pasuk coming lafuke that if at the time of their birth it was a suffix, like the two kids in the Machbeh, very sorry, they lose their b'chorshav, they lose that chedek b'choyra, and they cannot write harsho'o ze lo ze. So the two sveikas are similar. This is a ben v'lei tumtum, and this is a b'chor v'lei suffix. Ben v'lei tumtum means physically in the child itself. I don't know what the zohar is. I'm going to know later on, but I don't know. So it was at the time of Leida, loy hukru. Here, b'chor v'lei suffix is talking about similarly, that at the time that the two kids were born, I don't know which one was the Bechor. It was B'machveh. It was dark. No one knows. In the morning they wake up, two smiling babies, but which one was older, which one was younger? Kena Veisnish. So what does the Pasuk tell you? No din of Bechor. Bechor v'lei suffik. Ah, so that being the case, that was directly the opposite of what Rava said. Rava said they could be Koisiv HaShoa Zelazeh. I'm very sorry. Don't you remember they announced in the name of Rabbi Yannai that Rabbi Yannai said that that's the pshat in the Braisa that loy hukru ain koizun ashoa zelizeh. When Rava realized his error, he didn't go and try to do a cover up. He immediately oydev levoish hoder uki Rava amirale. Rava took a new amir, in other words, someone else to be able to say his shir beravim to amplify. Similar to what I said. However, loyal crew, if it was b'machbe, nobody knows, and that's the kavana of the pasuk and the brisim. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to tell us about real life stories as opposed to drushes and hypothetical situations. Sholchol ibn Akra di Agma l'Shmuel. The people that lived in Akra di Agma, name of a place, they sent the following shayla to Shmuel. Yilam dinu Rabbeinu, please tell us the following. Hoyu muchzokim b'zeh shehu b'char. V'yom ha'oviv al acher b'char hu mahu. We've known this family now. It's the famous Smith family. They've lived here in Akra di Agma for the last 50 years. We know who the father is. We know all the kids. And one of the children has been muchzik to be the Bukhar. I mean, he's always been the oldest one. He was the one that's always schlepping his younger brothers and sisters to shul and to school and doing all the rest. We know that he's a Bukhar. And guess what? Mr. Smith one day comes into shul and says, Rabbi Yisai, you never knew this, but I had an older Bukhar before this kid. How did he have an older Bukhar? He was previously married, or he was married to this lady, and this child was born, and the child was kidnapped, the child was taken to her grandmother, was put into a nursery, whatever the story is. But the point is, now that child comes on the scene, and the father says, this is not the Bukhar. That is the Bukhar. He is the real, even though the first one was Muchzik, everybody in the community would have sworn that he's the Bukhar. We've known him for 50 years, makes no difference. Of Sel al Acher, he says, Bukharu. Mao. So what's the din now? Do we listen to the Av or do we listen to the Chazaka? Zochti Yimura, Sholach Lahu. So Shmuel wrote back, Koyis v'nar Shoa Zelizeh. The best thing is, let them go and write Hashoa one for the other. And there, Mamanusha, because one of the two. So, Freit Yimura, I don't understand Shmuel. Mamanusha, Ikrabonin Svirale, Lishlechli Ikrabonin. Ikrabuda Svirale, Lishlechlu Krab Yehuda. What does that mean? We're going to have a braisa that's going to address this in another two lines. And the braisa is going to focus on a key word in the pasuk. If you have the number one, or is Aleph Torah, or Sholem, Ki Esa B'chor Ben Asnua, Yakir. What means Yakir? So Gemara is going to dash Yakir Yakirenu La'achirim. Meaning that the Torah gives the father the authority to be Makir, to recognize who is the real B'chor. Ah, now who darshens that? That's what the Yehuda darshens. The Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan say, no. A father doesn't have any more ne'emonis than anybody else. If you want to prove somebody's b'chorshav, you have to have either that there's no challenge, it's a chazaka, it's, you know, everybody in town agrees with that, or if in fact there is a machloekes, because you have to have two edim, just like any time you have a question of mumminess or any question halacha, bring two edim.
Well, we have a migu, the father could give the...
Okay, so that's Gemara's going to discuss all of that. We're not up to the end, but you're right.
You give everything...
Understood. Gemara's going to ask that question. So we get the first question. Why did the Shmuel go and say, right, Hashoah, if he holds like the Rabbanan that a father does not have the right to Yakirenu, he doesn't have that authority, so then, that what? That the other one that is Muchsik in Bechor, he's the Bechor and he gets the Bechor Shah. Elamai Ikerbutus Vile, if you hold like Rabbuda that's Yakirenu, he has that right to go and establish who's the Bechor, Lishukirbuda. So what's he doing with our Shah business? He says, well, I'll tell you what, Mesapkale, Ikerbutiker Rabbanan. Because he, Shmuel himself said, I don't know how to paskin. Do I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do I paskin like Rabbanan? Now, this is obviously a case of hukru for the b'soif nesar. We're not talking about that at the time of Leda, nobody knew. At the time of Leda, the father, the mother, everybody knew who the Bukhar was. Over time, people in the community didn't know whatever the circumstances were. But it's a hukru b'soif nesar, so you can write our shah as well as that. Since I have a suffix, says Shmuel, that's the best way to get out of the suffix. Now, who is Iker Beauty Karbon Mahi? What is that? The sign we have a Bryce. Yakir. Kies Bechor Ben Asnua. Yakir. The word Yakir is totally superfluous. Kies Bechor Ben Asnua. Nois the Loi Pishnaim. What's the Yakir Lost Loi Pishnaim? The Pasuk already said, Kieli Ish. He had two. Kisiyan the Ish. They know. Shumachas. Uvachas. The Ogli Banu. Ahuvas. For Yabain and Bechor Lasnia. The Bain and Bechor was to the Snua wife. What's the din? Kies Bechor Ben Asnua. Yakir. Lost Loi. It's not a question of Yakir, your Yakir Nish. Because he's a Bechor Ben Asnua, he gets Bishnaim. So what's the Yakir? Oh, Zoktach, Rabbi Yehuda. Yakir Karin Alachim, Mikan Rabbi Yehuda, Neman Olam Loi Mazeh Beni Bechor. A person has the right to establish, this is a Bechor, meaning, even in the face of a contrary Chazaka, the Muchzokim boy of someone else, that is the Bechor. I'm sorry, the father has that authority to establish, there is the Bechor. And it's not only that he has the authority to go and say positive identifications. K'shem sh'neman odom loy mezeh benim b'chor kach neman odom loy mezeh ben gerush ben vezeh ben chalutza. What happens if you have a koyin, and the koyin has a child? Normally that child would, of course, be a normal koyin like the father. However, if the father confesses and says, I have to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, unfortunately, the wife that I married was a Gerusha, and this son is the son of a Gerusha, or that of a Chalutza. Chalutza is Radi Midrabanan, therefore the Gemara just throws it in. However, in truth, the Ikadrusha that the Gemara is making is Altiyakir is on the Ben Gerusha, because that's the Diraisa, and therefore I'm telling you that this son is not a legitimate Koyin, he has the status of a Cholol. Says Rabbi Yehuda, yes, the father can identify, and he is the supreme authority, so to speak. That doesn't mean that if you have two Edom that they couldn't knock him out. But in case there is no other rias, you just have the chazaka generally in the community, the father has the right to establish that he's a Bechor, and he has the right to establish that the child is a Cholom. No, he's not believed. Okay, so in our case, from Akhidi Agma, that's the very machloikis of Yehuda and the Rabbanan, and therefore he should either have said, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that we believe the father and not the chazaka, or he should have said we believe the rabbanan that you go after the chazaka and you don't go after the father. It's the chasim and says the gemara that Shmuel mesapkele, and that's why he said right harsha. Frank Gemara omelei Rav Nachman Yitzchak leRava Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda Haynu Dechsev Yaker. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda has a beautiful drasha. The word Yaker is totally superfluous. Comes to Yakir and Alachir and the rabbanan Yaker lomeli. What do we need the Yaker for? Hefti Gemara betzorech hakeira. In a case where we don't know who the Bechor is. Meaning, not in the case that we were talking about that Muchzokim, and now the father says, Rabbi Yisai, your Chazok is wrong. Really, this Yingala is the Bechor and not that fellow. Aha! That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. Rabban is saying in a case where we just don't know. A person comes into town, there are a whole bunch of kids, and I don't know who happens to be the Bechor. He doesn't know. She doesn't know. Nobody knows. So then, what's the din? I say he doesn't know. The Bechor himself doesn't know. But the father knows. He's a brand new family in town, not that have been living here for 50 years. They just came aboard. And then the father, before he passed away, he said, Rabbi, I know you don't know, because all these kids look like older adults. They all look like they could be the Bechor. Hey, Yanko, he's the Bechor. So, B'tzorach HaKeira, then, that's the, he gets the exclusive authority to identify. Not when there's a chazaka. But mokim she'ein chazaka, says Rabbanan, he can be the makir tzarchaker. Frank Dimar, l'may hilchasa, what is the purpose of this yakir to go and say that he happens to be a bechor? L'mesvo loy pishnayim, to go and give him a double portion. I mean, that's the whole business of being a bechor. So Dimara, lo yehei ela acher, what would happen if this is not a bechor? It's not even his son. It just happens to be a stranger. This is, of course, Barry was asking already 5 minutes ago. Why do you even need to come on to Yakir? Why don't you just go and simply say that any time a person can go and say about one of his sons he's a Bukhar? You know why? Because the whole purpose of saying that he's a Bukhar is to go and give him an additional portion. Even if he wasn't a Bukhar, I can give an additional portion. I can write in my last will and testament that... It's migoy, and Rajbam Taki uses that expression, yeah. Migoy. Migoy, he could have given it to him directly.
We had this Gemara in Ksuvus, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
I remember, we had this Gemara in Ksuvus.
Yeah, could very well be.
Ksuvus Chosayim, the Pesha Aser Pesha Yedish.
Exactly. So, I just want to identify for purposes of our good friend, Brother Shai, where the Rajbam uses the term migoy. You see Rishbam Lamai Hilchasa? Mai Hilchasa, where is that? It's halfway down the narrow line. Mai Hilchasa Adar Bonin Kaparech, Ukim the Bitzar Hekero. Devishlam Rabbi Yehuda, Tuva Ashmin and Kra. The Pasi is telling you the Gvali Chidish, Minul Meli Abba Philip Makam Chazaka. The whole town in Akkad the Agman knew for 50 years that this is a Bukhar. And now the father says, he's not a Bukhar. The other guy is a Bukhar. Oh, that's a gewaldige chiddush. Vino le pishnayim. So good night. Come in the nasal boss of chazak. I'm in the nasal pishnayim. The muchzik lanu. The lekele me mergabe av. Mi goy. The boy yoiv le matona pishnayim. Ki omen nami olav shu bechor neman. The kaima lan mali shakim mokim eithim. You have this chazak. It's like a mokim. It's like anan tzadi. All of us in town, we all know the Smith family of the last 50 years. All of us in Akkadi Agma. So we know for sure. I don't have medical records, I don't have the birth certificate, all that, but come on, everybody knows. So the father comes and says that, no, this is the Bukhar, that's a Gevaldige Chiddush, that's a Malish HaKamakamedim, Leimrin. El Rabban and the Mayilchas are cause of Yaakir. What's the reason? Litzorech HaKeira, Sha'av Nem LaHakiroi LaHakirim. Frank Timur, if that's the whole point, that I don't know who the Bukhar is, and the father has the right to identify and point to and say, this is the Bukhar. See, already two times migoy. Even if he's a stranger. Not only give him a double portion. I could have given him everything, my entire estate.
The only thing in the other direction you can say is that if you identify someone as Bechor, he also becomes liable for any debts that are beyond the estate's value.
Mm-hmm. And for that, he can always look up. He can always say, I waive all my rights, like we had the Gemara before. So what's the purpose of the Torah empowering the father and saying, according to Rabbanan, Yakir? I understand why it couldn't be Yehuda make sense, Yakir, because otherwise I would think it's a Migoy B'mokim Eidim, Migoy B'mokim Eidim, Yamrinan, fine. Because a chazaka is like an ansadi. I understand it. But according to Rabbanan, it's a totally clean slate. Nobody knows anything about who your bechor, nish bechor. So what do I care? Your yakir, nish yakir. He could say, Rabbi say, I don't believe in bechor. I forget about bechor. I'm an apikoidus chas v'sholom rachmon l'tzlan. I'm just giving this fellow double portion because I like him. Whether you like it or not, whether you consider the bechor, that makes no difference to me. I'm giving a double portion. So he frank Dimara. Zokti Mara Lamai Hilchasa Lamaisa Lepishnaim Layele Acher Iluboy Lamaisa Lematonim Iliovle. Everyone like Tzrichim and Nechosim Shinof Layele Acher Mikan. It's talking about other Nechosim that fall to the father and then ultimately fall Liyarusha after the father made that statement. What does that mean? When does a person have a Chazaka that he could, or he has a Migui that he could have given a person any portion that he wants, as long as he's alive, until that point in time. He makes a statement, I'm giving a double portion to this boy because he happens to be my Bechor. I don't know if he's a Bechor, you're a Bechor, no, if she's a Bechor. What difference does it make? He can go and give him a double portion. Fine. Mask him. But what happens if a day later, a week later, a year later, 5 years later, that father now, Baruch Hashem, has really hit it off on the stock market, or he bought a lottery ticket and he won $1 billion, or whatever the situation is, now those monies have come into the father's estate, and ultimately the father passed away. Will that so-called b'char get pishnayim in that amount that came in after the father designated him as the b'char?
So
the answer is, because when do you have that mikoy that he can go and give matana if he owns the property? If he doesn't own the property, it's chadovah shalei bala oilam. So he can't go and say, well, I'm giving to this young man, Yankel, I'm giving him a double portion in my estate. You can give him a double portion of whatever you own today, because you can give him a ton of something that you own. But something that wasn't even created yet, he cannot go and give him a ton. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's the nafkimin, and that's what I need the yakir for. The yakir comes to tell you that even though nobody knows who happens to be the Bukhar, the father is believed that he is a Bukhar, and therefore, at any time, any nechassim that come to the father, until Yoy Moisa, until he passes on, all of that, the Bukhar will get a double portion. But without this Pasuk of Yakir, just based on the Migur that he can give him now, a double portion,
it's limited.
It's limited to what he has now, not anything that comes later on in life. The person may live another 20 years, 50 years, we don't know. Nobody knows their life expectancy. You can always be makhda dovish leblaylam. And for the more, even according to Meir, there's one exception to the rule. But a chasim shenoflu like kishahu, goy says, when chasim shalom, a person, a goy says, goyses is not identical with a shchimra. A goyses, we're talking about a person who's on his deathbed, and he's really at his, in his last breath.
He's ois shchimra.
Anyway, because of the fact that he's a goyses, as we know, the Gemara says, in other places, roiv goyses in lemisa, most goyses, unfortunately, are going to pass away. Yeah? Occasionally, a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a nest, but typically, a goyis is he's nebuch. Yeah, the gavra ktila kotal. Okay, and if he wants to make any type of kinyan at that point, it's impossible for him to make a kinyan. Why? He just doesn't have the strength. He can't make a hagba, he can't make a mashicha, he can't make a glila.
So a shchimera has to have at least the strength to make a kinyan, to have the legal status of a shchimera.
Right.
Once he's past that level of strength, He's beyond anything.
Exactly. So what happens if, whilst this person is a goyses on the deathbed, that's when they announce that Yankel Smith, he was the one that was zoicha to win the lottery. Yeah. He gets $1 billion. And then 5 minutes later, Nebuchy passes away. You probably heard the story, true story, about a month ago or so, that Trump was supposed to visit a fellow Goldberg who had a deli or something in Williamsburg. And everybody's looking forward to with cameras and all.
Right, and he passed away that day.
Can you imagine he passed away shortly before Trump? That was going to be his day in history. Right. Oh, famous with pictures. Passed away. Anyway, so the point is, this goyses, Nebuch is a goyses. At the time that he's a goyses, if he wins any property at that time, he gets a lottery winnings, whatever it happens to be, he cannot be machnit anymore because he no longer has that physical strength. Even a mayor would hold that although he said about a fellow that he happens to be my best friend, I want to go and give him anything and everything that I ever own from now until my passing, until his status of a goyses, he can do that. But anything that he gets after his gesisa stage, that might be an hour, it might be 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, whatever it is that the person is so comatose that the doctors are willing to pull the plug and all the rest, and they said it's just a question of an hour, 3 hours, 5, whatever happens to be. Once he becomes in that goyis stage, he's no longer able to go and be makna nechassim. Even Rabbi would agree that nechassim that arrive at that time, with his statement that he says, I gave away two portions to Yankel, it's gunish vet, that's worthless, because he can't be makna when he's a goyis. That's what I need the Yakir to go and say. Since the father recognizes Yankel as being his Bukhar, not only he's giving him a double portion, but he says, he is the Bukhar. Then I don't need to have the Koyich B'Shas Kesisa to be able to be Makna. Since the Torah authorized the father to establish this son as being the Bukhar, then he automatically gets Pishtayim, anything and everything that the father ever receives, even if he receives something on his deathbed.
Can a goyses designate someone as a bechor then?
He can't even open his mouth.
Okay.
Talking about a goyses that basically he's in a coma. Exactly. Can gurishti. Okay, on to the next Gemara. Zukti Mor Bait, we continue on to the Rabbanu Yimuchzak Boishu Bechar. We have a person Muchzak is Bechar. V'yom Oviv Al Acheshu Bechar. Then the father is Neman, he's believed. Who's that? Who does that go according to?
Rabbi Huda.
Very good. Now let's continue on the Braisa. Hay Muchzak in Boishu in a Bechar. Everybody said he's not the Bechar. Somebody else is Bechar. V'yom Oviv Bechar. The father said that he's a Bechar. Ain't a Neman. He's not believed.
That's Rabbanan.
That's Rabbanan. Right. Talk to you tomorrow. Reisha Rabbi Yehuda say for Rabbanan, just like you said. In other words, even though on the surface it's all one person talking, right, but the Gemara says, Al Karchach, I have no choice. I have to go and say. The Reisha is Rabbi Yehuda and say for Rabbanan. Shalom Ayisra. Next case. Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Start something new.
What was the whole Braisa for? What was that?
The Braisa is codifying Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan,
okay.
And presumably it was written in the same succinct style like our Mishnah is, where everybody knew, yeah, Rabbanan, of course, yeah. Okay. Omar b'nihu, v'chozavi Omar avdihu, einay nemar. Avdihu, v'chozavi Omar b'nihu, nemar. What does this mean? There's a fellow comes into town, he brings along a young man, and initially he says about him, Benihu, he is my son. Because of Omar, a day later he says, Avdihu. He's not my son. I said, son, I didn't really mean it. He's Avdihu, he is my Evet. Ein Neman. He's not believed to go and switch from Beni to Avdi. However, if he initially comes in and he says, Avdihu, this is my Evet. Because of Omar, Benihu, and then afterwards he says, he changes his mind, he says, Benihu, then he is Neman. Now what difference does it make? It's both the same, but what's going on? So Shbam explains. A person will never call his Eved his son. No matter how much he likes the Eved, he thinks he's a great guy, but to say he's my son, you're never going to elevate him to that level of son. However, a person might say about his son that he works like a horse, that he works like an Eved. He's such a strong servant, he's like my slave. So therefore, when a person identifies the young man as being my son, Benihu, he can't be referring to his Eved, because he would never say about Eved, he's Beni. So it means it's his real Ben. Because the Omer, if he subsequently says, Avdihu, he's my Eved, Ein Neman, he's not believed, because what he means to say is, like the Gemara says on the next line, the Mishamishli Ka'avda. He is so devoted, he's so dedicated to me, he works for me not just like a son, he works for me like a slave works. So therefore, now when he identifies him as an Eved, he's not believed to say that he is an Eved. He is the real McCoy, he is the real Ben. That he said Avdi, he's not Neman to transform him into an Eved, he's a Ben. And then with all the rules and regulations that pertain to a Ben of a person, such as since we're talking Yesh Nochlin, Hilchas Yerusha, he's a son, he's not an Eved. Either he said Eved, he's not Neman to degrade him and say he's an Eved, he's a Ben, that he works like an Eved. On the other hand, if he said about a person, Avdihu, he's my Eved, the Chaz of the Omar Benihu, and after that he said he's my son, then he's Neman. Then he is believed to go and say that he is a Ben. He referred to him as an Eved initially. The Mishamish Li Ki Avdika Omar. He meant to say, when he said Avdihu, when he introduced him to everybody, he meant to say, boy, he slaves for me like a real slave, but he really and truly was a Ben. So a person will call his son an Eved, if he works like an Eved, works like a horse. However, no one calls his Eved a Ben. So you look at the initial introduction. The initial introduction is he says, Benihu, he's my Ben. It cannot be that he's referring to him, to my Eved, because Eved you would never call a Ben. So he's my Ben. Afterwards he said Eved, no, that's okay, he's just saying that he works like an Eved. So therefore he's not Neman to say Avdihu. He remains on that initial status when he said that initial identification that he's his Ben. But if he's going to start off and say Avdihu, that he is my Eved, and the Chazu Amr Benihu, and now he wants to change it and say that that is my son, then Neman is believed to say that that is my son. Why is he believed to say that that one is my son? Because no one calls an Eved a son. I say, Bazoi, why did he go and refer to him as Avdi initially? He meant to say that he works and slaves for me, but he really and truly happens to be my son, and therefore he's Neman when he subsequently says Bini. The Chalufi Abeis Amechas. And the reverse is when you're talking about paying taxes or paying customs. That was. Hayoyv Abeis Amechas. The person is coming in and he's bringing in merchandise. As we all know, when you go to a foreign country, then you have to go and declare whatever you brought in,
customs.
And very often the customs will charge you customs. Okay. So, He obviously does not want to pay the customs. The Omer Benihu, he goes through customs. They say, hey, who's this young man? Well, it's my son. Yanko smiled to the camera, smiled to the customs officer. Yeah, my son. Because the Omer Avdihu, and after they leave the customs and then they come to the city, then he says, Avdihu, you're really my Yevet. I called him, you know, because I didn't want to pay the customs. Then he's Neman. He's believed, because it makes sense. Omer Avdihu, if when he went through customs, he says, my Yevet. And he had to go and pay the customs because he was an Eved. Because the Amr Benihu, any Neman, now he's not believed. What type of idiot, if he happens to be a Beni, why would he call him Abdi?
Right.
So he's an honest person, he deserves the Medal of Honesty. Right. True. However, to go and say about Beni that he was my Eved, you would never do that. Why would you want to go and cough up and pay customs if you didn't have to? So therefore, we will believe him when he says Abdihu, because he was Zakir's Eved, he's being honest. When he says after his Benihu, he's not believed. Because there's no purpose in him saying Avdihu if he was his Bnei. Frank Timur Meitzvei have a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Not on the Meches case, but on the first case of Rabbi Yochanan. And the first case, it's really the second part of the first case. Remember, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? That if initially the person said Avdihu, because of Omer Benihu, he's Neman. Okay. Now, this price also has two cases. The case is, the kash is going to be from the second case of the price. He was meshamish him like a son. Rishbam says meshamish like a son, like the Meseches Kedushin, that he's malbish and manil. He dresses his father. He takes him, you know, takes his clothes to the mikveh and things that a son would normally do. Meshamish kiben malbish manil machnis moitzi. You know, he taught me, lean on me, hold my hand, hold my arm. Meshamish kiben. Ubavi Yomar, he says, Benihu, and the father said, oh, this young man is my son. Because the Yomar Avdihu, and afterwards he says, he's my Eved, Einin Neman, he's not believed.
Absolutely.
Which part, well, 1 second, if you go back to the beginning of Rabbi Yochanan, go back 10 lines, Omar Benihu, that's what he said. Because the Yomar Avdihu, Einin Neman, he's not believed. So that part is okay. That's not a Chiddush. The Chiddush is, well, not the Chiddush, the Kash is going to be, and Meshamshik Eved, he acted like an Eved. Ubavi Omar Avdihu, he says, my Eved. Because we Omar Benihu, ain't in them one. Right? The second case, right? First wide line. Hayib Shamshik Eved. Ubavi Omar, he says, Avdihu. The father, not the father, the man, treats this young man, and who is this? This is my Eved. Because of Omar Benihu, and afterwards he says, that's my son. Ain't in them one. So let's go back to that original Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said in the second line, Avdihu. Because of Omar Benihu, Neman. Here it says Avdihu, because of Benihu, Eino Neman is a shver on that Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone, Menachem Yitzchak, Kosim the Korule Avda Meitzer Meya. He didn't just say that this is my Eved. Here in the Braise, he said that this is my Eved, who's worth like the border of a piece of property. He's worth 100. My Meitzer Meya, Meitzer Avda Kuf Zuzi. What he means to say is, this Eved, today we might say, it's my Eved, he's worth $1 million. He's saying, this is my Eved, he's worth like my Meitzar, which is worth 100. In other words, I have real estate, and that real estate has a border to it, so you can see, identify which the real estate it is, and it's worth Kuf Zuzi, that my Eved, he's just like my Meitzar of my Ara, worth the 100 Zuzi. Would a father refer to his son as being worth like a piece of real estate?
No.
Ah, nobody would do something like that. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about when he identified his son, he's saying, Avdihu, because of the Omar Benihu, he's Neman, the Mishamish Lika Avda. When he introduced him initially, he's saying, he slaves for me, he's so dedicated, he's so devoted, he's great. And afterwards he said, by the way, he happens to be my son. That we can hear Neman. But to go and say about him, this is my 100-carat stone Eved, like a diamond. This is my 100, this is my million-dollar Eved.
You won't put a price on a child.
Exactly. And I have to say, Benihu, this initial person wouldn't do that. You can assume when he referred to Avdi, he's worth 100, he meant that is a neches, that's a possession, and it's not a son. We'll stop over here, boy.
Continue tonight.